I heard a most interesting conversation as we were getting ready for Marie Monville to be here back in April. You remember she's the wife of the shooter from the Amish schoolhouse in Nichols Mines, and she spoke here. As many of you were kind of marveling at forgiveness offered on both sides, I listened to someone say, "I don't think I'm going to come that night." Friend said, are you busy? Said, "No, I don't think I'm ready to think about forgiving yet. I don't think I'm ready to think about forgiving yet, so I better not come that night because she might call me to forgive people I don't want to forgive." Most interesting conversation to overhear. It was in that moment that I wondered if we couldn't use, all of us, a little teaching around forgiveness. So this morning we begin a month-long series on forgiveness. What and how is God calling us to forgive? The radicalness that Christ's forgiveness really is in our lives. This forgiveness business is countercultural altogether. It seems that this is more our thought than forgiveness. We're kind of intrigued by those who forgive one another in big ways, but don't necessarily need to get involved ourselves. There was a country song a while ago that said, "I just want to be mad for a little while." I think somebody here might relate to that. And there was even, if you remember, the Dixie Chicks and a whole controversy. They made an awful lot of money off of saying, "I'm not ready to make nice." It seems we've got something cultural in which we're not necessarily interested in forgiveness altogether. In fact, we've been instructed culturally that it's forgive and forget, right? Those two go together, we've been told. People have told me it's in the Bible. I haven't found it in there yet. I've read it through a couple of dozen times. Does anyone know where forgive and forget comes from? That's okay. Your English teachers will be okay with this. Cervantes from Don Quixote and Shakespeare's King Lear of the same time frame both say this: forget and forgive the injuries. And we've taken it as our own. We've taken 16th century literature to be our guiding principles. Forgive and forget. We've forgotten that that's not who God has called us to be. In fact, God calls us again and again to remember. We remember because God has redeemed and remembered us. We don't forgive and forget. We don't forgive people because they deserve to be forgiven. In fact, we weren't forgiven because we deserved to be forgiven. I thank Sandy for reading our scriptures this morning from Corinthians. Paul has an extensive conversation with the Corinthians about this topic of forgiveness. It seems there was conflict and challenge in this young church, and Paul walked with them through these different challenges. He recognized that when one person felt division, the whole of the body felt division. Remember, Paul's the one who talks about one body, hand not more important than the foot. He applies this also to forgiveness. When one of us feels separated from the body, we are a body in need of being remembered, as in put back together, as well as remembered. We hear in his treatment of forgiveness also the words that Jesus spoke, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." What incredible power Jesus has given us as disciples. As I was thinking about how to talk about forgiveness, I was remembering the Truth and Reconciliation Commission out of South Africa. After the horrific years of apartheid in South Africa, there was some intentionality around setting up these Truth and Reconciliation Commissions so that the story of one people who felt oppressed didn't flip and become the oppressors of the ones who had originally caused them harm. When apartheid finally fell, the healing process for a country became essential. This commission developed patterns and processes to listen together and to seek reconciliation. The mandate was to bear witness, record, as well as reparate and rehabilitate. Who you see in front of you is the Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a man of great energy. If you've ever seen him in person, probably a good 4 inches shorter than I am, with all kinds of energy, and his daughter. They've written prolifically about this concept of forgiveness, a path forward. I included a little bit of their wisdom in our bulletin. This is what they say first about what forgiveness is not. Listen to how countercultural this is. Forgiveness is not easy. It takes hard work and a consistent willingness. Forgiveness is not weakness. It takes courage and strength. Forgiveness does not subvert justice. It creates a space for justice to be enacted with a purity of purpose that does not include revenge. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It requires a fearless remembering of the hurt. Forgiveness is not quick. You all knew that. It can take several journeys through cycles of remembering and grief before you can forgive and be free. They observe there's a difference between forgiving and the revenge cycle. This also is in your bulletin if you want a close-up. They say, and I think it's right on, our greatest instinct is the revenge cycle. That is to say, it's a vicious cycle that we have trouble getting out of. We're driven by pain. And when somebody hurts us, our first instinct is just with that button set up there, don't get mad, get even. That's what the revenge cycle is about, that first instinct in which we've forgotten the person who hurts us is created in the image of God as well. As we move into actions of revenge, you see up here retaliation and payback. None of this is delightful, but all of it is familiar. It's through violence and through cruelty, harm and loss. And everybody gets pain out of that cycle. Now, out of their wisdom, from all that happened in South Africa, they said there's a different way. It doesn't have to be the revenge cycle. It says instead, there's a forgiveness cycle. And the first step of the forgiveness cycle is not cheap forgiveness. It's telling the story of our pain. What is your story? How is it that you have been hurt? Who do you need to offer forgiveness to because they've inflicted pain upon you? This allows us to make some meaning out of our situation, redeeming what has happened in the midst. Ideally, telling your story to the one who caused it. But first, to those who can hear you with love. and with compassion. The tutus say next that you have to name the hurt. We must give voice to what has harmed us so it doesn't take root inside of us and find us doing the same thing that others have done to us. This, when we name the hurt, finds us often in a place of grief. I said it was hard work. Grief that comes in all kinds of forms, but grief that as you move through takes you to a place that you might find healing yourself. Third, they say you need to grant forgiveness with shared humanity. That is to say that those who have inflicted pain upon you, those who have sinned against you, are also made in the image of God. Can you imagine how hard this must have been in South Africa for those who had been physically beaten to give forgiveness to those who were the ones doing the beatings? Humans are capable of wonderful compassion, and we're also capable of horrific acts. Those things coexist within us. When we choose to forgive, whether in the short term or over years, it's a gift that we first give ourselves as we let go of the pain that has held us. Fourth, last step in the process, they say, is to either renew or release the relationship. That is to say, when we forgive someone, we are not in the same kind of relationship we were before. We either change the relationship so that we remember the image of God, each of us, in one another. But there are some relationships that must be released, even upon forgiveness. This is a choice that only gets made in the individual of circumstances. Renewing a relationship is not restoring it to where it's always been. It's a new starting point, a new telling, a new naming, and a new granting. Now, this is a great process, but we move at our own speed. There are those of us who can think of those who have sinned against us. We can think of those for whom we've been divided with for years and years and years. We know that as we think about the possibility of forgiveness, we might find ourselves, as the one I overheard back in April, I'm not quite ready to even consider that quite yet. And yet this process calls us to consider how forgiveness is not just a gift to the one who we forgive. Forgiveness is a gift to ourselves because we first received that gift from God when we did not deserve it whatsoever. So this morning, as you come to the communion table and accept the forgiveness that's been offered to you, who is God calling you to forgive this morning? Is it a spouse or a child? Is it a long-held grudge against a sibling or a parent or a family member? Is it a divide that's been in a friendship for years upon years that you kind of carefully tiptoe around? Who is God calling you to take the next step to forgive? God gives us incredible power to forgive and then invites us into the hard work of forgiveness. Come to the table this morning, asking God to work within you that you might forgive and remember. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.